Look, if you show up to a date with food, I'm going to have a proposal immediately following that. That's it's a match made in heaven for sure. So here's the deal, Emily.
Maybe we should get some people sliding into Morales' DMs here. Yeah, maybe there's some girls out there saying to themselves, wait a minute here.
I'm sure it's open.
Wait a minute here.
You just became an accomplice. You don't want to do that.
That's okay.
That's a bad deal.
Don't get in there.
Connor, so if Connor is a listener, like he said he was, he's listening right now. Connor, I need you to listen to what you just – or remember what you just heard. What did Emily say? I'm just going to leave it at that. Put two and two together. So, Emily, the date's on the books, right? It's Saturday morning?
It's in my Google Calendar. I'm ready to go. Yeah, it's on Saturday afternoon, yes.
Is he making the trip up to your neck of the woods, or are you going down to his? You meeting halfway? Like, take me through the details of this whole thing.
I'm going to Costa Mesa only because I haven't been to the area. It could be an interesting thing for me to explore. I like to get to new areas of LA, and okay. LA, it's running area. So I'm going to go down to Costa Mesa. Okay, we're going to a little coffee shop. He sent me the address and everything. We're good to go.
Okay. Just so I kind of have an idea from a timing perspective, what time of the day is this going to be at?
So this is going to be at like 1:30 because he gets off work at 1:00. So okay. it's going to be kind of like early afternoon, and I'm totally okay with that. You know, I get a chance to little sleep in. I don't sleep in very often, so it's going to be nice.
So there
okay,
you
okay. This,
so,
go ahead, Trev.
No, I was just curious. You went on with Mason and Ireland yesterday, and somebody, the other guy, called yesterday,
Dave.
Right? Like he keeps calling you on the air, and he keeps getting involved, you know, over the radio, but he has not reached out to you directly.
No, he's not. He's not gone to my DMs. He has not tweeted at me. I am on the search for who Dave in Thousand Oaks is. Amanda, our boss, even was like, hey, I'm going to do some snooping over at the Rams facility because she has some connections over there.
Oh, right.
Ask around
I forgot
for
about
who's
that.
Dave in Thousand Oaks. We just want to find you so you can back up your words. You know, if you just call in every time, it's just talk. You're not actually putting up.
Yeah,
so.
But that's even that right there. There's no hunting around here. The dude either comes into your DMs.
Right.
And
yeah.
he makes a move and he, you know, talks about, hey, I want to go take you out for a cup of coffee. Or he doesn't. And if he hasn't at this point, to be honest with you, Trev, this
good
is
job,
making
Al.
Me even more excited about Connor.
Yes,
what is
sales,
this amateur
this is
hour?
Exactly, this
Dave's
is exactly,
sales
good
pitch
job,
the second
Al.
Time was better. He had his, you know,
but he's
salary.
Not giving it to you. He's doing it to Mason and Ireland.
No,
he's doing it to Travis and Slee.
He did do it to me eventually. So I was on. We got to talk a little bit on the air. But, you know, still, Dave, I only know your voice. I need to make sure you're a real person.
Know. I already don't
You're
like
not
the
a
start
Russian spy
one.
Or something.
I don't like the start of this one.
Yeah, this field, Connor's got it better.
Okay.
He's way ahead in the game.
Let me throw this out there, because this is the first time we've ever obviously done this on the air. You a little nervous for Saturday or not at all?
I don't know. I'm not really nervous at all. I'm a pretty good first date. I feel like I can talk kind of to anybody. So I'm not afraid about meeting new people. And,
what's good first
good.
Date? See, I mentioned this. Al, you've been in a relationship for a long time. I've been married 24 plus years. What is a good – because here's
we should get out this weekend, huh? You and I, Trev. Let's get out there, huh, buddy?
I don't even know what to talk about. We talk about the kids. We talk about how we're never going to get to retire. We talk about all of the terrible things that can happen to us between now and the time we get old. Like, these are the topics that married people go through. What is a first date topic right now, Emily? Take me through the process. You sit down. Connor, it's nice to meet you. It was really cool that you called on the radio. What's the next thing?
You
Connor,
know.
don't mind Alan and Travis. They're just right here to my right. But please continue.
Yes, they have their newspapers up. They're pretending to be behind them and not listening. But I think it's a lot of, you know, what did you study in college? What are you doing now? What about it interests you? Where your passions lie? That's kind of where I go. I love talking about TV and movies. So I often get into, you know, what are you watching right now? And then that kind of tells me a lot about a person.
So
and
how much
whether or not I respect them.
Okay, so how much of the balance is a little bit just like you said, a little get to know each other, right? Just kind of the bullet points of Emily and the bullet points of Connor, and how much of it is I'm gonna give you a little bit of the stuff, right? I mean, just a little bit of the real me, because we all have our best versions of ourselves that we present, and then we have ourselves, right? that have some stuff. How long do you wait till you show some stuff?
I feel like it depends on how much alcohol I consume on the day. That's definitely the first thing. But this is coffee, so it's going to be pretty much – it's going to be sober talking, so that's good.
You can Irish up that coffee if you want. I mean, there's lots of things you can put in coffee.
But
Bailey's, brandy. There's
I think
lots
first
of options.
Date is more of surface level, getting to know your interests. I think it comes after that first date where you're talking after out of the date. Because right now, I kind of like to do first dates without having a ton of like texting back and forth, because I feel like it gets stale by the time you actually get to the date. So then once you get to the date, you gotta then.
I think you make
it
very, very personal right out the gate. You just come out the gate just firing, all right? Personal questions.
Here's all the traumas in my life.
How many ex-girlfriends and what are their phone numbers? I do want to reach out to them. I'd love to kind of get their thoughts on your previous relationships.
Exactly. References.
Why did you get fired from your last job?
Exactly.
A list of references. That's awesome.
If you want to have kids, too, that's a good one to start off with.
Really? Are you sure?
That seems
aggressive.
That's literally a joke.
Oh, okay. Damn, Emily, you're coming out of the gate hot.
Don't waste my time. Anyway.
Bring a resume.
Yeah. I respect that.
Bring a resume. Yeah. Let's get this thing moving. I want to read the resume before.
I like it. By the way, I'm going to need a phone call or a lengthy text to both Al and myself on Saturday. So you said you
No, I don't think we should get one. I think we should be fine. Come in on Monday and let's just have the conversation.
No. Look, Emily and I are going to spend all day Sunday together, right? We're going to do the Rams all day on Sunday. So I'm going to have multiple questions.
I'll be there too.
I'm going to mine the situation for all of the nuggets. It's going to be great. All right.
You don't want it just kind of out of the blue on Monday?
No, because I want to make sure that I know exactly the parts that I want to get to on the air. I need to really curate this thing so we can get to all of the best
parts.
We'll
eventually get to Taylor's dating history. It's fine. We'll get there eventually. You need to get the young people.
You know what, Emily? That's an excellent point. That is, we really have not gotten into too much of Taylor. That's going to be chapter two.
He's on the phone right now. He can't do it right now.
He might be pretending. He might be ducking it right now. Exactly. ESPN Radio. It's brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. So Bill Barnwell writes for ESPN.com. They had something up today talking about the 10 best hires in the NFL over the last 5 years. You don't even need to click on it. I'm going to spoil it for you. It's a good piece, but Sean McVay is the answer. And it's a pretty obvious answer, because the only thing left for Sean McVay to do, Al, and this is crazy. We looked it up this morning. Sean McVay turns 36 in 4 days. Okay, so
That's stupid.
We'll give him early happy birthday, Coach. Happy 36th birthday in 4 days. He's won the division 3 times in 5 years. He's gone to the playoffs 4 times in 5 years. He's won the conference already. He's gone to the Super Bowl already. He's proven that he can do it with one quarterback. He's proven he can do it with another quarterback. He came in on a team that, look, it's true, so it's okay to say it. The Rams, when they showed up in L.A., were terrible. Mm-hmm. Not only were they a bad team, they were a boring team, right? Todd Gurley said, we're running an eighth-grade offense. It was not compelling. And they were 4-12. The first year they were here with Jeff Fisher, 4-12. Sean McVay takes that team, and in one season, they win the division. The next season, they go to the Super Bowl. The season after that, they have their, air quotes, bad season. They're 9-7. Okay, the season after that, that's last year, they go to the playoffs. They win a playoff game, the divisional round. This year, they win the division. They win a playoff game. They're into the divisional round. Really, 5 years in his coaching career, the only thing left for him to do is win the Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that's easy. I mean, obviously, that's an incredibly difficult accomplishment. But we're talking about a 36-year-old man who's been a head coach for 5 years, mm-hmm. and he's checked just about every box there is to check except for the big one, and he's got a chance to do it this season. And he'll have a chance to do it next season. That's how quickly this stuff can happen if you get the right guy in that spot.
Okay, so I'm going to be completely honest on this, all right? There comes a point where somebody gets a lot of praise, always is getting praise. Man, Sean McVay, look at this guy. He's this, he's that. And it starts getting a little annoying. And I think Sean McVay, for me, has kind of fallen into that category. And then you kind of lay out what he's done and the age that he's at. Bro, how do you not just sit back and compliment this guy at age? You said he's about to turn 36 years old, turn 36, and what he's already accomplished is better than most coaches that coached in the league for 20 years. Now, some of that is also you got a owner that wants to win, you got a front office that's doing a good job, and then you just got a really, really, really good coach. Put all those things together, usually you're going to have success. It ain't easy to win in the NFL. Trav, if the Rams lose this weekend against Tampa, obviously can happen, whatever the case is. He could stop coaching tomorrow, and he has a good resume and a good history in the league. You're right that what he's accomplished already so far, and they have on this list, you know, the top five hires. Matt LaFleur is on there.
Number two.
I think Sean McDermott is on there. So
yep.
you have a few different guys that are on there, but what he's done over this short span of time, you're right. The only thing missing is a Super Bowl. Do you know how freaking tough it is to win a Super Bowl? Do you know how tough it is to win a championship?
Like, absolutely.
Just think about that for a second. When you say, well, the only thing he hasn't accomplished yet is
the
win a
thing.
Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's the. You're not supposed to. It shouldn't be said that casually at age 36. Maybe a guy that's been in the league for 20 years, 25 years, and you kind of that's the only one that he hasn't checked off yet. This is a different story.
And here's the difference between him and a guy like Matt LaFleur. And I'm not throwing any shade at Matt LaFleur, but this is the fact. I need to see Matt LaFleur do it with somebody not named Aaron Rodgers. I could coach the Packers, and we're going to win 12 games. Because the scheme would be, Aaron, what do you think we should do? Right? When we'll go out there and win a whole bunch of games. Jared Goff is not Aaron Rodgers. Matt Stafford is not Aaron Rodgers. So his philosophies, his culture that he has built is extremely sustainable. You know, for instance, Mike Vrabel's on the list, too, in Tennessee. That dude knows what he's doing.
Oh, he's
because
a baller.
He comes.
And nobody.
In there,
and by the way, no one's talking about the Titans. No one's talking
right.
about
number
them.
Number one seed, and you're right. They're under the radar. So now it is a remarkable accomplishment. We'll get to the Raider component of that, but this is important. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. I know how I feel about it. Dave apparently is back.
Wait. Let's do this. Let's do this when we come back. Okay.
Uh huh.
I don't want to promise Dave another phone call. I want to discuss it. I want to discuss it when we come back.
We're going to leave
it up to him. And then make a determination of whether we're giving the guy another phone call. What is this guy getting, a part-time show on the station?
We'll find out. It's Emily's call. You better hope she's in a good mood, Dave. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
So, Dave is back, and very quickly, just to kind of set this up, Dave was the second person to call Emily yesterday after Connor heard Emily's story about her bad first date. He said, "Hey, I'd like to give you a chance to do better than was it Matt? I think was the original guy's name."
Yeah.
And then Dave came in and said, "No, I." He kind of threw a little shade at Connor along the way, and then he called to Mason in Ireland as well and talked about it, but hasn't connected with Emily directly. So, Emily, before we give Dave another chance, I want you to consider that. But before we do it, Al, you had a really good idea. I think the listener should weigh in on this as well, like whether or not Dave has earned the right to do this on the radio again, right?
This is what I'm not understanding. I don't understand why Dave's getting another opportunity here. Now, this ain't my call. I'm just throwing it out there. You chatted yesterday on this show. You chatted yesterday on Mason in Ireland. You're telling me in the span of – I don't know about you, Emily. Are you somebody that likes somebody that goes and gets the job done right away? Because Connor set it up right away. I feel like Dave is procrastinating here, and, you know, it's just not the best look. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to go at you, Dave. But I'm just trying to say that you had 24 hours to figure this out. So I don't know if he should get another call.
All right, let's try Torrance first. Dave, sit tight. We're gonna see what your fate is here in a minute. Let's go to
Myra. We're running a democracy here.
Absolutely. What's up, Myra? You're on Travis Lee.
Hey, hi guys. So I am advocating for Emily. I am a woman, so of course I'm going to be on the woman's side. And I am that friend who will ask a million one questions and tell my friend about the red flag. So I did get a red flag from David. But when you guys asked him about his height, first he said 5'11", then he said 5'10". And that just, to me, yells insecurity. Because I feel like somebody knows what they bring to the table, they wouldn't care if they're 5'2".
Myra, I'm 6'4". I'm 6'4", Myra.
So, Myra, you're expecting 5'2" to come through the door? We've gone from 5'11 to 5'2 after one phone call? That's what you're picking up on?
Yeah, because he lied about his height at first.
Okay. All right. So this
That's
is
good, Myra.
This is
interesting. That's good thinking.
So, Emily, what do you think about that? If he said, I don't think that was on our show, was it? Was that the Mason and Ireland portion where you talked about how tall he was?
I think yes. They talked about Mason and Ireland, but maybe a little bit on our show. But I think that is a common thing for guys to fib a bit about the height. But
does that matter to you? Does it matter how tall?
But you're eventually going to see the person. Okay, wait. But wait. Here's the funny thing. Like I can fidge, say I'm 6'2". You're gonna see me. I'm not 6'2". You know what I mean? Like I don't know how that was gonna work.
They still do it, Alan. They still do it.
I could say I'm 165 and I have rock solid abs. Eventually, you're gonna see me and be like, "What is this?
What happened?
Who is this guy?
Did you get in a car accident? Yeah. what happened to your body? Because those rock hard abs are definitely not there. So, what do you think, Emily? Do we take a call from Dave? You ready for this?
I would take a call from Dave, but I also, again, height wise, just has to be taller than me. That's all really matters.
All right, Dave. So let's bring Dave on here. First of all, Dave, just once and for all, how tall are you?
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Hey, so first off, CY, you know, part-time gig. This is strictly a part-time internship. I don't require any pay, man. So you know, no pay there involved whatsoever.
We're giving out school credit. Don't worry. You're going to get your units.
I'll take it. And then as far as the listener from Torrance, I mean, I do recommend her to, you know, get her hearing checked because there was no lie. So if you guys recall me saying it, I said, when they asked me how tall you are, I said, I'm almost 5'11", but unfortunately I'm 5'10". So I never claimed 5'11". I did admit with the 5'10".
What's
I'm
almost 5'11"? I think that's what Myra was picking up on.
So I'm 5'10 and a half if you did a measurement barefoot, you know what I mean? So you kind of go on the lower end instead of the higher end. That's how I do it.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm gonna cut to the chase here, Dave, really quickly here. Just cards on the table moment. Why do you keep calling the radio station and not reaching out to Emily directly?
Excited to explain it to you. So when we spoke on Mason in Ireland yesterday, they gave me an interview. So then after the interview we spoke, they did a vote. And I was with Mason, Ireland, Greg, Taylor, I believe. And then so they took a vote. And I unfortunately.
Stays there?
When it came to Emily, when it was her vote, she said she had a date lined up with Connor. She felt like she, you know, was more in Connor. And so I was under the pressure she went with Connor. So I'm not going to be the kind. That's going to be like the stalker that still approaches her after a clear choice was made. So I'm not going to be chasing it. You know, it's like she went with her choice right on.
They're not getting married, Dave. They're going to get a cup of coffee.
Or playing the field. There's got to be options. Yeah. Got to be competitive.
Emily, your reaction to Dave's latest pitch.
So if that's the case, then I would be more than glad to DM you. I just wasn't under that impression. I just wasn't under the impression that your vote went with Connor. So I was like, okay, right on.
Dave, let me ask you a question. I got a quick question. Do you play basketball at all?
I'm a football player. I do play basketball recreationally, yeah.
All right. Every once in a while you play basketball. I'm going to give you what Travis Rogers does when he's on a basketball floor. You throw him the ball, he's shooting.
Shoot it.
You just got to take that shot. So my recommendation would be this, and whatever you do from here is up to you. 100%, don't overthink this. Send her a DM. Whatever happens with Connor happens with Connor. You know, eventually after that, you'll figure it out. And Emily has – Travis, you tell me this, but I feel like Emily's kind of been like, hey, Dave, what's the deal here? I'm kind of waiting for you to send me something. So that's the way I kind of read this whole thing.
I think you're right, Al. And, Dave, thank you. Maybe we'll hear from you again. Maybe – I don't know. I mean, you've had a couple opportunities. So what do you think, Emily? Are you still waiting for the message? Are you out? Are you in? Where are we on this?
I'd be open to a message. It needs to, you know, again, I like to be chased. So it's a good thing to, I will be responsive, to a message.
Emily so feels very go with the flow. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
Dave,
yeah,
go with the flow here.
It's a good
vibe. I just want you to not be back. Don't back down. Come on. It's for the bit. We love a bit. We love the content.
By the way, Myra continues the streak of our female callers being extraordinary, because her picking up on that is pretty spot on.
Yeah.
There's a little something in there. I don't know exactly what it is, but I'm almost 5'11", but I'm just saying Myra may be on to something.
Just say right
there. Temecula is next, and Paul, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's going on?
Hey guys. Yeah, I just a couple of red flags there. Yesterday I was listening to Mason in Ireland. I think he called in also on that show, and I think the income, when they asked him how much is his income, he had a long pause, and then he calculated down to $140,000. So I think there's a lot of not confidence in his answers that he's giving, that he's, you know, that he's doing what he's saying he does.
Okay. Damn, Emily, right, your thoughts on Dave's W-2. What do you make of that? We've already discussed his height. Now let's talk about his tax return.
He also said that he has his own place, no roommate, definite plus.
Okay.
So I would say I'm not opposed to, you know, it's, I think that for one thing, I think that's a fair wage. It's great. The only issue that really was my red flag was that he was 35. He was outside of my range. But then Michael Thompson was like, hey, age is but a number. So I think that it's still a fine thing. I'm okay knowing how much he makes, but that's usually not something I ask on the first date, because I usually make less.
by the way, the answer to that question is it's none of your business, right? That's a good answer to that question.
That's a good answer.
I do well for myself.
Yeah. Or not, that's fine too, but don't. That's none of your business. That's my business. And, you know, that's not. I hear, look, my credit card has a $38 limit on it. As you know, that we don't have to jump into that right away. We can figure that out as we go through it. That one feels to me not a big deal.
I'm pretty sure I just got an email for another credit card opportunity. Yeah, I'm doing well financially.
I'm
look
also
at this.
Is
38% a good rate? I think that's what this one is.
I don't know. You want to log into my Gmail and take a look at all the emails I've got from Chase?
Incredible.
But I'm the kind of gal, though, that I like to split on the first date. Or if he offers, if he pushes, then yes, I'll let him pay.
No,
so I don't. That's the only way to really judge if
I
he's
no
too quick.
A cup of coffee, it's $4.
Yeah, there's no
right.
Split.
Hey,
here's my $1.94.
I offer.
Well, first of all, let me say, offer is a fantastic gesture and very, very much appreciated, which should make the man want to pay even more. It's like, all right, I appreciate it. It's awesome. I got it.
Yeah, I respect it. But look, he asked you out. He can pay for it. I've got your back on this, Emily. If he's asking you out, which he did, he should pay for it. That's the way that that life works. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Visit progressive.com.
All right, we got.
I thought you were going to say something.
Oh no!
You started, and I felt like I cut you off. You're okay.
So, all right, we got Factor Cap.
That was smooth.
Factor Cap coming
up next.
That
was good radio. Let's just keep doing that.
By the way, I love the red flag calls. There's people that just keep calling. I almost now feel bad for Dave. Like I almost feel bad for Dave.
I don't.
Now. Like I almost felt like I went too deep into him.
Nah, he had his chance. You don't call the radio station three times and not call her. That's not the way that it works. Factor Cap coming up next. The times when you are unavailable. How good are they? That's next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, guys. Oh, my love.
Hello.
Has been all over the place. It's wonderful. I appreciate all the assistance, everybody. It's been great.
We got you back.
Up first, I was watching the wedding episode of The Office yesterday, and it was kind of funny to me how they were talking about stuff with wedding registry, because Pam and Jim just wanted money. That's all they wanted. So my first statement is, you always go by the registry when buying a wedding gift. Alan, is this fact or cap?
Cap. Do you know what happens a lot? Middle Eastern culture, a lot of cash being thrown out there. And it's all, you know, it's funny. I think the net zero when all the weddings are done, no one will have lost a dollar, because if you gave them X amount of dollars, they're giving you X amount of dollars, and the money is just being rotated. That's all it is, just being rotated left, right. You turn this way, you turn that way. So that happens a lot more than registry.
Yeah, I'm conflicted on this. I will 9 out of 10 times go off the registry. I think I've told this story before. Because, look, the registry is the things that they actually want and need,
yep.
Right? If they need a blender, get them the blender, because your idea of getting them the fancy birdhouse or whatever, they don't want a birdhouse. They want a blender. So get them the blender that they signed up for. That being said, sometimes there aren't things on the registry that you know people are going to like. For instance, I've told this story before. I made a joke when we were going through the preparations for our wedding a million years ago. I made a joke to somebody I worked with about, hey, why can't I put like a giant TV on the registry? Why is that not okay? Guess what showed up at the house a couple of days later? A giant TV.
Wow.
It was an unbelievable gift, and it was congratulations on your wedding. Enjoy the giant TV. It was fantastic. So wasn't on the registry, an incredibly generous gift along the way. So I'm okay with going off of the list if you're going to do something kind of cool. But if you just think, oh, you know what they'll really need is this Simpsons-themed fondue set, don't do that. Just get the blender.
That makes me want to do that now more. No, I'll determine what you guys need, okay?
Yeah,
I don't need you guys
you
telling
like.
Me what you need. Let me make that determination.
So real quick, Al, before we move on, at the weddings that you were talking about, is there kind of a standard amount? Is it $250 or $50, or is it vary? Is it like our friend in Ventura who makes his nieces and nephews fight for the Christmas present?
It varies, because it just depends how close you are to the family. So, like, if it's a much closer relative, you're eating beans and rice for a few weeks, good month, solid. So, if it's not that close of a family member, it's going to come down of what you're giving to them.
Emily.
All right. Up next, I always like this. When I get on a flight and I don't have to get on my phone all the time, I am just, you know, focusing on my movies or my books. So you enjoy being unavailable when on a flight. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Fact. I love it. I love being unavailable, period. I don't do it barely enough. I'm as guilty as anybody, maybe more so, of carrying that stupid phone around and staring at it all day long. But to your point, whether it's a flight, whether you are in a place with terrible cell service, the few of those places that exist, it's incredibly liberating. It's fun just sometimes, like you said the other day, Al, you'll run up to get a coffee and you forgot your phone and you come back and there's a bunch of messages on it, to just not respond to them and say, forgot my phone, I've been gone for a – it's wonderfully liberating. I wish I could do it more often. Maybe I'll just start flying around the world, never land, just so I don't have to return any text messages.
All right, so it's cap for me, but it's cap because I don't know what else to do. I'm bored as hell. Like, I get the one thing, it's one thing if I leave my phone behind, but I'm doing something else. I think it's that, okay, well, what's going to be stimulating me just sitting there? I break the rules. You know how I break the rules? If you go on YouTube, you could download everything prior. So I'm sitting here the day before I go on the flight, I just downloaded 40 videos, 16 podcasts, different type of music genres that I want to listen to. Like, I downloaded it all. And then when I'm at the airport, now I'm on their Wi-Fi, and I'm downloading just a couple more things just in case. So by the time I get off the flight, I think I consumed more stuff on my phone or my iPad than I would if I wasn't even on a plane.
Yeah, I give me the old book, a little paperback action. Let me sleep. Leave me
alone. Well, I have a book with me. It just doesn't – don't open it.
Just in case the battery dies. Just,
something happens, you know?
Absolutely. Just prepare for all entertainment forms. That's what I do.
Well,
here's
the reality. If it's a good book, great. That's the thing. That's like the key. It obviously, that's great entertainment as well. It just has to be a good book. That's it.
For sure. I also downloaded a bunch of stuff off of Netflix usually, so that's what my go-to. So currently, I'm in this phase where I'm eating a ton of chips and guac. Like, I'm just obsessed with chips and guac right now.
Not a bad area to be in. Yep.
Exactly. So you go through phases where you're obsessed over a food or a specific drink. Alan, is this fact or cap?
Oh, no question about it. I went through a phase this, like, last month. Oh, my God, I should have ramen again. What? You just had ramen. You just went to a ramen joint 30 minutes ago. I think we all kind of run into this, and it could be a specific type of food. It could be a specific place, location. It could be a specific dish. No question about it. I go through those phases, and then you'll reach a point where you're like, all right, I don't need that for a couple of months. I run into those all the time. My latest one was ramen. There's a place not too far from where I live. Just a fantastic spot. You can go sit there. You sit at the bar, sit whatever, and just get a good bowl of ramen. I'm kind of getting a little over the phase, but definitely happens.
I do it with the cocktails, not so much the food, right? The food, I like to mix it up a little bit. Like, I don't get me wrong, I could eat tacos every single day and be entirely pleased with it. But if I do tacos one day, we can go do a little sushi another day. I can cook at home one night. Like, I can balance those things out. But, and this is Keyshawn's fault, by the way. So Key, when we were doing the morning show together and we would hang out a little bit, Key's a tequila guy, right? So Key turned me on to some certain types of tequila that I all of a sudden could not get enough of, right? That I would try every single type of tequila cocktail there was to try this. And you could just go straight up with a little lime, a little rocks, and all these things that if I get introduced to something that I wasn't a regular on and I really do like it, for instance, the tequila that Key was pouring, that's going to be my thing for a while until I don't have any more left or I don't know where to find it exactly. But, yeah, I will ride the drink horse for a very – I had never had an old-fashioned in my life until I finally tried one. And then I had 68 of them in a row, 68 nights when you'd go out to go dinner. So, yeah, I'm incredibly guilty of cocktail solidarity.
I get that with whiskey sours as well. So
those are good too.
Yeah. I went on a whole binge route. Well, I would like go to each bar and just try to compare their whiskey sours and see which one is the best. Okay. Next.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Kentucky Mule, by the way. You get caught up in one of those too. Kentucky Mules are great.
Oh, yeah. You always have the subtitles on when you watch TV. Travis is Factor Cap.
Oh, Cap. I hate that so much. My kids do it. Why is that a thing? If your ears work, why do I need the subtitles on? I get if you're like in a noisy place and you're trying to see, like you're at a bar and they have them on. I kind of get that because you can't hear the TV. But if I'm sitting in my living room and I'm watching an episode of Breaking Bad or Mad Men or whatever it might be, I can hear Don Draper fine. I can hear Jesse. I don't need to see the script scrolling along the bottom of the screen. Take me through that, Al. Why do people do that? It drives me bananas.
If it's not a foreign movie, I don't understand why it's on. Here's a bigger issue. How come I always forget how to turn it off? Why does that always happen? I'm searching on there as if, like, this is a real project. Like, I got something I really got to figure. By the way, has this ever happened to you? And this is subtitles is just one of them. I feel like that always happens where you give less attention to something. It's just annoying.
And you're not watching the show. You're reading the show.
Can't even turn them off. no, I don't. There's no need for it. I don't have. Emily, are you one to have? Are you one to have subtitles on?
I sometimes will, and then I'll turn them off occasionally. So sometimes for me, it's like I might not be able to hear, like when I'm watching a reality TV show or something else where it's like casual people talking, like not actors, sometimes they have subtitles on so they can understand what they're saying. And then sometimes I'll leave it on just because sometimes it's nice. I don't know.
But for what? Like, if you can hear it, I'm curious. Don't you end up reading as it's going by? Like, I stop looking at the pictures and I'm reading the text.
I think it re-engages me. I think I actually understand more about what they're saying than just my. If you have two senses going, I feel like I hear, I understand the words more. That's
here's
why
what
I
I'll,
do it.
Here's what I'll do for you, Al. The next time you're having trouble to turn off the closed captioning,
yep.
Just call me. I'll put you on the phone with my 16-year-old. He'll walk you through okay. it, because it's exactly what happens here. Michael, get in here. Turn the stop turning this on. Turn it off and show me how to do it for the 84th time in a row. I have no idea how that works.
I call AAA every time. Every time. Whatever you need, AAA. Anything you need, AAA will do it.
Sup, Al? What do you need? Good to hear from you. Yeah, okay. We got you
Al,
covered.
How you been? Everything good? That's how I know the AAA people.
You run out of gas again? We got you covered. All right. Speaking of, 13 years ago, speaking of great TV shows, Emily's Favorite debuted, and it's on the very short list of greatest show ever. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. And you still haven't been back, right? You're still banned from SoFi Stadium after your one and done appearance against the Titans. Yes,
I went bankrupt in the parking lot.
It's so funny you say that. When I was pulling in to do the wild card game on Monday night, yep. I saw a sign for a place to park that was 120. And I couldn't get to my phone fast enough as I was driving by. I was trying to get the picture as I was going. Don't try that at home, kids. But I'm like, holy smoke, 120. You got off easy. You only got tagged for 80. You should have been thanking people reaching into your wallet.
She actually said that to me. I remember I was like, she's like, it's $80. Because there was no sign where I was, you know, pulling it from. She's like, it's $80. I'm like, $80? She's like, trust me, there's some lots that are 120. I'm like,
yes.
All right, run the card.
She wasn't lying.
No, she
was 100% right about that. All right, don't forget, you can reach out to me and Slee whenever you'd like on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa, at Travis Rogers. This one just came in from Kevin Mayfield. So Kevin writes, this David dude reminds me of the Chargers. He can put points on the board, but he keeps going for it on fourth down and getting stopped. Listeners calling in giving red flags isn't helping. I think it's time for Emily to move on. He keeps hanging himself. That's a pretty good analysis right there, Kevin, because the guy's moving the ball like he's putting something out there that I could tell that Emily's at least reasonably interested in, and then he keeps kind of dropping these little breadcrumbs like, hold on away. He is the Chargers.
Isn't it the opposite of the Chargers? Isn't it the opposite of the Chargers? Brandon Staley's going for it. Brandon Staley's shooting his shots. The guy's going for it on fourth down, fourth and nine. It doesn't matter what it is. I feel like he's doing the opposite. I feel like he's not going for it on fourth down. It's like, dude, you're punting again?
Well, I don't even know if he's punting. He's I don't know what he's doing. I've never seen somebody who clearly is interested that keeps calling a third party to express his interest when
that's
the
our
second
fault. That's all for taking the third call.
No, because it's great radio. I like it a lot. But he calls us and says, hey, look, I heard Connor. I'd just like to throw my hat in the ring. Great. Perfect. Then he doubles back to Mason in Ireland later in the day, which is like, well, what are you doing? Just reach out to Emily. She's on Twitter. Emily, it's your name, right? At Emily Hebel.
Yeah, just my name. Yeah.
Okay, so at Emily Hebel. So you can just reach out to Emily and do it directly. And so he does the Mason and Ireland thing. And then all of a sudden today we bring up that he called Mason. He calls us again. Like, what's going on? This doesn't make any sense. Call her. She said she will take the call. She's willing to listen. Her DMs are open, as they say. So stop calling us. Stop going for it on fourth down. And just reach out and throw a screen pass. You know, you don't have to throw the ball down the field. Let's just get a first down here and keep it moving.
That's all. That's all we're asking for. That's all we're talking about. Nothing more than that. Okay, so we got this anniversary, 13-year anniversary, Emily.
Oh, yes. The greatest show ever. Taylor, play it again because we missed it in the open because it's amazing. I love Breaking Bad. It is my favorite show ever. Do you got it? There it goes.
13 years ago today?
Yep, debut.
On AMC.
Okay. How long? I forget right out the gate. How many seasons did they go?
Five. Yeah. So I have a couple fun facts for you guys. And one of them has to do with how many episodes they made. Mm-hmm. So they made 62 episodes. And that number 62 is important because the 62nd element on the periodic table is samarium, which is used to treat cancer, i.e. lung cancer. So we wanted it to go 62 episodes so it could match up with that 62nd element.
Yes,
isn't that so cool?
That's very cool.
Yeah. And then also, do you guys know that the original show location was supposed to be Riverside, California? But then it moved to Albuquerque because New Mexico offered the tax breaks. So what would it look like if it was in Riverside instead of Albuquerque?
I've been to Albuquerque. I've been to Riverside. I've been to both these places.
Not that different.
They're not super different.
No.
I don't think the show changes a whole heck of a lot. By the way, Riverside, you know, would have been a perfect setting for that, right? Albuquerque was a really good setting for that. You couldn't put that, I don't know, in Boston or something like that. You could put it in Seattle. Not that there aren't meth dealers and manufacturers in those places, but it feels more deserty. It feels more 909-y, Riverside-y. That just feels like the
All right, so I got a quick little fun fact for you, Emily. Went to Albuquerque, I don't know what it was, 5 years ago, something along those lines. 100% stopped by the house.
Oh, did you really?
And those homeowners hate that.
They do hate it. I read into that as well. I think they, if I remember correctly, I think they kind of like gated the whole thing up. You want to know why? Because people were throwing pizzas on top of the roof. Okay? And then also stopped by that car wash. The car wash, you know, the business that they had or whatever the case is. Pretty cool. You know, that's Albuquerque. And when that was going on, you know, we forget. Like, we go through these phases. When Breaking Bad was happening, bro, every single person, every single day was talking about Breaking Bad. And it wasn't even Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul was great, too.
Oh, it's fantastic. And that one's still going. You know, once Bob Odenkirk had, I think he had a heart attack, and so they had to stop production for a little while. So once he's healthy again and ready to go, hopefully they relaunch. I'll be honest. I'll tell you this. I did the Travis thing with Breaking Bad. You're right, Al, what you were saying. Everybody said, oh, Breaking Bad and Walter White and Bryan Cranston's amazing.
You didn't want to watch it?
And it was such a hard sell. I'm like, nah, I'm good. And then after.
That's unbelievable. I don't get it.
A couple of years later, once people had stopped yelling at me about it, I watched it. Terrific. Absolutely terrific. So I was late to the game, but think about that. Think about how hard it is to, A, create those characters, and then, B, to find the perfect actors to play them, and those actors deliver perfect performance. And it's not just Bryan Cranston, who was great. It's not just Jesse Pinkman, the character, who was great. It's all of the ancillary characters. It's Mike Ehrmantraut. It's Gus Fring. It's Olivia Rodart Quayle, or whatever her name was.
I'm sure you guys hate Skyler, too. So,
well, it doesn't everybody?
You have to understand her specifically. It's
okay. Kind of floor is yours. Explain Skylar to me. Why should I not hate her?
I think it's more that she's painted to be hated rather than she didn't get her own storylines that could make her.
She
better,
was solid. I thought she was solid.
Yeah, she's so smart. She's so smart. She's so ambitious. I don't know. She's put in a bad situation.
One of the most powerful scenes in Breaking Bad. Is when Walter walks into the house and he's taking the baby. She was unbelievable in that scene. I think I just remember that scene specific of like how good she was. I thought all the characters. I mean, Hank is fantastic. How good was who was that? Mike obviously is fantastic. You just kind of go down the list. Tuco was one.
Okay, it's funny. We were having this conversation the other day. Like Tuco, as far as bad guys go,
yeah,
too much. It was just a little bit like Gus Fring is far more terrifying than Tuco because Tuco's a crazy person, right? Tuco is a drug addict. He's over the top. He's using as much as he's selling, and he's out of his mind. Whereas Gus Fring is very deliberate. Very smart, very calculating, very methodical in his evil. That was a much better.
That's always a much scarier evil.
Never look at a box cutter the same way again.
A back what?
A box cutter.
Oh no, that's bad. And always check the wheelchair for explosives. That's a good trick to remember as well. All right, so we're still getting phone calls on Emily's dating life. We're going to have to slide a couple of more of those in there as well. But Russ got benched last night, Slee, and I think the Lakers today are different than the Lakers yesterday because of that. I'll explain. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.